tune into his frequency, we will daily hear his voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes out of your day to join me as we together study the Word together. As we together study God's Word. We're going to have a high time today in the Bible. And we're going to have a look today at what went down in history as the persecuted church of Smyrna, modern-day Izmir in Turkey, where the famous saint named Polycarp was the bishop at Smyrna. He was a disciple of John the Apostle, who wrote the book of Revelation and the book of John and 1 John, which we're studying at church. It was learned firsthand from him. And the people at Smyrna and many of these cities were forced every year to sign a document that said in Greek, Kaiseros Kyrios, which meant Caesar is Lord. And Polycarp famously said, for 86 years have I served him, meaning Jesus Christ, and he's done me no wrong or no harm. Bring forth what thou wilt. And he refused to do it. He refused to do what the government told him. And that is what happened to this man, this church, the persecuted church we're going to see here coming up now, is the next church in our study, in our ongoing study in the book of Revelation. So we'll let this intro be for both days of this sermon. The church at Smyrna is the only church that has no correction from the Son of God. They weren't doing anything wrong there. And so that's where we're at here today, Monday, Thursday, and Friday. I invite you out to Island Community Church this weekend. We'd love to see you. We're in the book of 1 John in chapter 2. Wrapping up chapter 1 and chapter 2. Services are at 10:30 on Sunday morning. The live feed you can watch from Island Community Church FL. That's the app. I encourage you to download the app. The service will be broadcast on there live if you're unable to attend. If you are able, you have an open door invitation to come by Island Community Church this weekend. Worship with us. We're going to have a high time in the Lord here this weekend, as we will right now here coming up. So here is parts 1 and 2, depending on what day you hear this, of the persecuted church at Smyrna. He prayed aloud, the fire was lit, and his flesh was consumed. The chronicler of this martyrdom said it was, quote, and this is what someone wrote who saw this. He said this, quote, it was not as burning flesh, but it was as bread baking. Sometimes you just got to be there. Bread baking. The account concludes by saying Polycarp's death was remembered by everyone. He was even spoken of by all the heathen in every place he went, where the story went. Lord God, help us to have the coupamone of this Polycarp. Help us to hate our lives like Jesus said. To trust you more, literally. Help us not to worry about threats that come our way, but to see past them and trust in you. No turning back. God, help us to be like this man. Help us to have the fortitude
that this man had, and all of these early saints had. Sometimes we lack their fortitude. I pray for all of us here today in this church and those that will hear this on the radio. Help us to have the fortitude. Help us to remember that when trials come our way, you're trying to create that in us. Help us to respond like our brother James tells us to respond. Somehow or another, to count it all joy when we encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith develops endurance. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Bring forth what thou wilt. Right? Esposito, don't preach that message in this church. That's hate speech. Now, 23 years have I served him, and he's done me no wrong. Bring forth what thou wilt. You all can fill in the blanks. Don't do that. You can't say that here. Aren't you afraid to die? You fill in the blanks. 40 in 6 years, 50 in 8 years, 60 in 3 years. Have I served him? And he's done me no harm. Can anyone relate to that? Has Jesus ever done you wrong? Even when you didn't like what happened. He says, bring forth what thou wilt. Okay, now some 50 years before this happened to Polycarp, the Lord Jesus dictates a letter to the current pastor of this church. Now Smyrna was a proud and beautiful city. Smyrna also had earned the right to be self-governing. It had a large library, a stadium. It had the largest public theater in Asia. Mount Pagus rose above the harbor with an acropolis built on it that was considered the city's crown. A golden street went through the middle of the city with a temple of Zeus on one end and a temple to the local goddess Cypele on the other end. Other temples were there too, including one to Apollo and Asclepius and Aphrodite, all lined up the golden street. Perhaps even more important, the city had been the center, like I said before, for emperor worship. Smyrna was one of the few cities, maybe it was the only one there in Asia, that received permission to build a temple to the Emperor Tiberius in 23 BC. Emperor worship was required by all Roman citizens. Those who refused could receive the death penalty. Once a year, all citizens were required to burn incense on an altar to Caesar, after which they would receive a certificate proving that they had done their civil duty. While this was more an act of a political loyalty than a religious act, the citizen had to say while burning the incense, that was Kaiseros Kurios. You ever heard R.C. Sproul teach on that? That is, Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Lord. Many Christians considered this a blasphemous act and refused to do this. The city struggled against two hostile forces, a Gentile population loyal to Rome and supported emperor worship, and a large Jewish population strongly opposed to Christianity. That's what you got there, a double whammy. You've got evil satanic-led unbelievers, God-haters, and angry Jews that hate Jesus with a passion. Imagine living there in this city. Okay, now, verse 8 of chapter 2. Lord help us. It's 11:25. Let's get started. Am I going to have to cut corners here this morning? No? Okay, you said it. Now, unto the angel, remember, angel, angelos, messenger, to the messenger or pastor. Now to that pastor of the church in Smyrna, right? These things says the first and the last, who was dead and is alive. Not many can claim that, right? First and last, who was dead and came to life. No one can claim that except one, the Son of God. He is the beginning. He is the end, right? He is the first, and the beginning was the Word. He is the last, the eschatos. The only thing he shares in common with us men and women is that he died and he came to life, which is what sets Christianity apart from anything and everything else, is that death is not the end for us. This here is what Jesus did with death and the power of death. It says in Colossians 2:15, we looked at it Wednesday, having disarmed principalities and powers, he mocked them in public, and he triumphed over them. So what makes your religion different than anything else? Here it is right here. Jesus came to life again. Let's not skip over that. Death has no hold over him. I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, Paul wrote, how Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. And he was seen by Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom a greater part of them remain to the present, but some have died. In other words, why don't you go and ask them? There's 500 people over here in this town that have all seen Jesus after he was raised up from the dead. That's what makes us, Christianity, different than anything and everything else, is Jesus is alive. People say all the time there are many ways to God and many ways to eternal life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. When he came to life again, God put a stamp of approval on his Son and authenticated every word that Jesus ever said, which is why Jesus says in John 6:63, he says, my words are spirit and they are life. My words are spirit. That's why I recommend you sit down and take a couple of years and memorize every red letter in your Bible. It'll do you some good. So this letter comes from the one who came to life again. His own description. That's what he said. You tell the pastor, this is from the one who died and came to life again. Verse 9. I know your works and your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews but are not, but are of a synagogue of Satan. He's saying, I haven't forgotten about you. You know, come to think of it, this church has no correction in it. Do you notice that in this letter? He doesn't say to them, just one thing you lack, or I've got this against you. He's got nothing to say to the persecuted church, but encouragement to them. That's it. He says, I know what you're going through. I know you're number one. He says, I know your works. But by the way, does he know yours? He's going to ask you about them in a little bit. Maybe today or tomorrow or 20 years from now. I don't know. But I know he's going to ask you about them. What are you doing with the talents he's given you? Does Jesus know your works? Again, the summons to appear in the highest court in all the land says this, for we must all appear. It's just like a summons. Ever got one of those in the mail before? Anyone old enough here to be drafted? What's the first word on a draft notice say? Greetings! We must all appear before, wow, the Bema seat. Bimatos to Christu, the Bema seat of Jesus Christ, with those steely eyes and feet of brass. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. By the way, that is the Greek word for summons as well. That everyone may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done whether good or bad. That's your works. But let me add, that's not the reason why you ought to do them. It ought to be because you love him and you're eternally grateful for all that he's done for you, is why you ought to do works. Are you grateful for your salvation today? James wrote this. He says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Dead. If you're not doing something for Jesus Christ, your faith, he says, it's good for nothing. It's worthless. Number two, Jesus says he knows their, number two, second thing is tribulation. Like I said last week, all Christians are confronted with tribulation. The Lord said in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation. What you won't have ever is the wrath of God. You will never face the wrath of God as a Christian. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Also, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God has not appointed us to wrath, but unto salvation. You will never face the wrath of God, ever. But like Polycarp, someone could feed you to the lion. They've been feeding Christians to the lions proverbially for 2,000 years. That's not the wrath of God. You'll always face the wrath of Satan. Always. This is where people get confused. So don't say I'll never see any tribulation, because Jesus says you will. In this world, you will have tribulation. I'd say you've been lucky so far. You've been lucky that you live in this country and not somewhere else. Number three, he says, I know your poverty. Sometimes you think you're poor, but you're actually rich. That's what the Lord told this church. They think that they're poor, but they're rich. Now, the church at Laodicea had the opposite problem. They thought they were rich. And Jesus says, no, you're poor. You're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and you're naked too. We have an incorrect view of riches and poverty, according to our all-wise God. Isn't that the truth? Let's say true riches are not measured by one's bank account. Remember what God said to Samuel the prophet. He says, God does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Next up in this text, the Lord says to them, I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. So how can you say you are a Jew but not be one? I mean, either you are or you're not, right? I mean, to be a Jew is a nationality, isn't it? I mean, that's like saying, you know, you say you are Italian, but you're not. No, you can't say that to me. I am Italian, no matter what you say. Right? Maybe you're Spanish. Maybe you're Irish. You say that you're Irish, but you're not. No, wait a minute. I am. My name's McGillicuddy. I'm Irish. Don't tell me I'm not Irish. But he does. What does he mean? That means Jew is not nationality is what it means. It means something else. You say that you're Jewish, but you're not. Paul says this, Romans 2:28. He is not a Jew that is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision is outward in flesh. But he is a Jew that is one inwardly. See that? And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Follow me here. Sometimes Jew in the Bible is meant to be spiritualized, and sometimes it's not. A true Jew is a child of Abraham who has faith in God. That is a true Jew, according to Jesus. You can't say you're Jewish and say you are a Jew and are not. Or this one, Galatians 6:16. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. to be a Jew. The Israel of God is a child of faith and a son or daughter of Abraham, the father of faith. So to say you are a Jew is to be like Abraham. And Abraham wouldn't go around killing the people of God, right? Everyone understand that? You say you are a Jew and are not. If you were a Jew, you'd be a son of Abraham. And if you were a son of Abraham, Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. You wouldn't go around burning Christians and throwing them in the fire. You say you are a Jew, but are not. You actually are a member of the synagogue of Satan. What a statement. The synagogue of Satan. A synagogue of Satan is a false assembly, thinking they're worshiping God. These are Jews, not Marilyn Manson worshipers, not Baal worshipers. Would they worship Satan deliberately if they knew it? Not on your life. But, key phrase, they are deceived. They think that something, trying to exterminate Christians, is something, the right thing to do. While something, trying to exterminate Christians, is actually something else. That is the devil's handiwork. You see, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. Weren't we talking about that Wednesday night? What the word seem means? There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. All right, verse 10. Fear none of those things which you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil will cast some of you into prison so that you may be tried. Tested. Tried. Reminds me of going down there to the Dodge dealer there and turning that key. I'm going to go try that car. I'm going to go test drive it. See how fast it can go. See how loud it is. This is what the devil does. They're going to throw you into prison so that you can be tried or tested. And you'll have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Again, Satan is the one that does the testing here. This is what he does. He tests us. The Lord Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you so that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, or when you have returned, strengthen your brothers. That's Luke 22:31. Listen to what Satan said to God concerning Job. He said, skin for skin, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But you put forth your hand now, God, and you touch his flesh and his bone, and he'll curse you, he'll spit in your eye. Satan thinks you'll do anything to save your hide until you prove him different. Okay, next up, the Lord encourages the pastor here at Smyrna and all of us, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, James talks about this crown too. He says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation or trials. For when he is tried, again, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. James 1:12. Verse 11, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. All right, we'll stop here for today. We're running out of time. We'll pick it up here at the second death, and we'll pick it up here looking at this compromising church at Pergamos. We've digested enough here for today. Lord God, we praise you. There's enough for us, Lord. Enough to take home with us today. And that is, help us to get through the trials. Help us to discern where they're coming from. Help us to come out of them like gold. We pray that we would smell like bread too, which I guess must be sweet-smelling savor. I don't know. It hasn't happened to me yet. Thank you for your word. Help us understand these great truths. Help us to have, let's cut to the chase, Lord God, in a simple prayer, help us to have the proper outlook on life that we consider what awaits us much more than where we're living right now. And to remember this verse, Lord God, our momentary light affliction is working out for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen last forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio, and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Creation, your glorious design, who am I? I am known by the King of Kings, Majesty.